Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I am your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the October 4th edition of Raw, and this is the final night of the draft, and there are a lot of picks that I don't agree with, and then some picks I do agree with, and one pick in particular that I am going to address that I'm just like, okay, why was this person even drafted? So I'm going to get straight into it. So the night starts off with Becky Lynch. She opens Raw and, you know, she's still the tag team champion. And obviously she's going to go against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair at Crown Jewels. But I think she has to drop the belt. And it's going to have to be obviously Sasha Banks because she is the one on SmackDown. And I don't think they really want the SmackDown and Raw champion in one show, even though Becky 2 belt would be awesome to see again. I like that. But I think eventually Becky is going to drop the belt to Sasha, as pretty sure Becky's going to have some sort of rivalry now with whoever is going to be the Raw tag team the Raw Women's Champion. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch for the time being. So as Becky starts gloating and, you know, being her heel self, and she's loving this whole heel persona, Charlotte Flair comes out. And I gotta tell you, I've never mentioned in any episode of the podcast, but Charlotte Flair, she has style. She's always looking like a million bucks. She has great style. That's a random thing I just wanted to say. So then Charlotte starts ranting about how she made Becky Lynch famous, and how every woman now wants to be Charlotte Flair, and Charlotte Flair paved the way for every up-and-coming women's wrestler to come into the business and become champion. There's a little truth behind that. I mean, Charlotte Flair is the biggest women's star right now next to Becky Lynch. Or you can actually say they're in the same run. There's 50-50. That's a more of an argument for another day. And as Charlotte Flair keeps talking to Becky about who's the better champion, who's not the better champion, Bianca Belair comes out. And I love how Charlotte Flair has embraced this, the whole Charlotte sucks chance. Bianca Belair comes on, she's over like crazy, and everyone's just starts shouting out that Charlotte Flair sucks, and she's just embracing it, she's loving it, and she knows about it. And then Charlotte, you know, she also loves to make a whole thing about herself too. She's really good at that. She twists everything and just makes all eyes go on her, which is great because she takes it all in, and she backs up her cockiness, her conceit. You know, she's conceited, she thinks she's the best, but hey, she backs it up in the ring. And then Becky, she ends up telling Charlotte Flair that she has nothing left to prove, that she's beating Charlotte Flair so many times that there's no point in wrestling her again. So then Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville come out, and the match is made. So now for Raw main event, it's going to be Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair, which I think is a great main event. And obviously I'm going to get into that way later into the podcast. But when they announced, I was actually kind of excited. I was like, okay, now we're talking for a Raw main event. Next, we have Jeff Hardy versus Damian Priest for the U.S. Championship, United States Championship. And before the match even starts, the first round of the draft picks are announced. And I mean, the first round was the most obvious of any other round for Raw. The first round pick is Becky Lynch. Obviously, that's not a shocker. SmackDown then selects the Usos. Of course, they need to get the bloodline going. Raw then selects Bobby Lashley, which of course is not a shocker to anyone. SmackDown selects Sasha Banks, and like I said, not a shocker to anyone. It's probably the most obvious draft picks to ever happen in WWE. But hey, I'm just happy that, you know, people are staying where they're more comfortable. You know, Lashley being on Raw, I can see him being on SmackDown right now. The Usos on SmackDown, obviously, for Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. Becky Lynch, obviously, you can't have two champions in one brand right now. So she goes to Raw. And Sasha Banks, she is going to be the SmackDown champion, I'm guessing, for SmackDown. And then after the first round, the match started for Jeff Hardy versus Damian Priest. And I got to tell you, lately Jeff Hardy has been looking very good. It's like he like woke up from like a sleep or something, because he's been very active. He's been doing his thing. He's been doing his dives. He doesn't look like he's been like getting winded. How I've always said it, like it kind of looks like he's struggling after like 5 minutes in a match. But yeah, Jeff Hardy is looking great, and I'm so happy that he's looking more healthy, and he's actually put it on the show that I know that he can put on. And as the match went on, I was actually thinking of an interesting scenario where you know Jeff Hardy would win the United States Championship, and then he just takes it to SmackDown, which would be kind of weird. But that means we'll have to bring in the United States Championship to, I mean, the Intercontinental Championship to Raw. It would be a weird scenario, but it was just an interesting thought. But at the same time, I was like, well, you know what? If Damian Priest was to lose, I'd be kind of sad, because, you know, I'm liking his title run. I'm liking what he's doing, and I hope they do keep him champion for a while. And then as the match continued, Jeff Hardy, he does a twist of faith, and then he goes for a Swanton Bomb, which I thought Jeff Hardy finally won the match. I was like, oh my God, he's actually going to win the title. This is amazing. This is great. But then Damian Priest, he kicks out of it, but instead of kicking out, he turns it into a rollover pin, and he gets to win. And I mean, now that's how you reverse a pin. That it came out of nowhere. See, that was a great surprise, and kudos to Damian Priest for executing a move like that, because I don't think no one saw it coming. So then after the match, Austin Theory ends up coming out during Jeff Hardy's in-ring interview, which was really random. And I'm not gonna lie, seeing Austin Theory on Raw now is gonna be really weird, because I'm so used to seeing him on NXT with The Way, with Johnny Gargano and everyone, and it's gonna be weird. But I mean, hey, more power to him. He's you know, advancing his career. So then Austin, he asked Jeff Hardy for a selfie, and Jeff Hardy agrees to it. And shocker that no one saw coming, obviously, was that Austin Theory ends up attacking Jeff Hardy, and then he takes a selfie. Are they building a storyline between Austin Theory and Jeff Hardy? I mean, at this point, you really can't. I mean, you could for the remainder of, 2 weeks? But, I mean, you can't really do much with it, because Jeff is going to SmackDown, Austin staying on Raw, unless this is all going to lead up to, you know, Austin Theory versus Jeff Hardy at Crown Jewels, which, I mean, why not? We need an opener, I guess. Then we move on to Shayna Baszler versus Dana Brooke, and Shayna Baszler is on a roll. I hope they're going to start giving her the push that she deserves, or the push that she needs, because this woman is a bazooka. And obviously she can wreck hell, and she's a real time fighter, so I'm just waiting for her to get her push to get to the women's title. But before the match starts, we have round 2 of the draft, and the first person Raw selects I was actually kind of shocked was Seth Rollins. So I was like, oh wow, Seth Rollins going to SmackDown, going to Raw, that's great. I was a shocker, because I was like, okay, I kind of thought he was gonna stay on Raw, I mean on SmackDown. But kind of seems like they might keep the Edge versus Seth Rollins story going, which they should, because it's a 1-1 right now. They need that one more match to kind of settle the score. So kind of it was a shocker, but I was like, okay, this is good. Then SmackDown selects King Nakamura. I mean, there's not much of a shocker there. Then Raw selects Damian Priest. Thank God he's staying on Raw. Thank God. Then SmackDown selects Sheamus, and I'm like, wow, I honestly liked him on Raw, and now he's gonna go to SmackDown. That's gonna be a change. I don't know why. I'm just so used to seeing him on Raw, and put it on this like this crazy show. It was gonna be something. So then after that, the match starts, and the match was a squash match. It was literally nothing to it. I mean, Shayna Baszler is just a Karafuda clutch on Dana Brooke, and Dana Brooke taps out. I mean, they really didn't do anything. They need to start giving Shayna Brooke some competition. This is not working. But then Doudrop comes out, and you know, she basically saves Dana Brooke, and Shayna Baszler and Doudrop, they just size each other up, just eye each other, and kind of look like Doudrop is not scared of Shayna Baszler. So I'm guessing that there's some sort of storyline starting between Doudrop and Shayna Baszler, and hopefully this would benefit both parties. Doudrop getting more screen time, and then Shayna Baszler actually getting competition and kind of showing that, hey, she can hang with the big dog. So I'm just hoping for that. Although I'm not really that into the whole this whole Doudrop Shayna Baszler type thing, but it is what it is, and we'll see what will happen. So then we have Mansoor and Mustafa Ali versus Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. And I still don't know what the hell they're doing with Mansoor and Mustafa Ali. I don't even get this tag team. I mean, I used to think it was a whole like sensei and teacher type of thing, but now it's just they're just such a lower card tag team that I don't even know what they're even gonna do with them. And to be honest, I mean, Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, obviously, they're a good tag team. They're young, they're hungry, they're good looking, you know how they say. So they have a future. But Mansoor and Mustafa Ali, I feel like they should just split them up and just make them singles competitors, because I don't really see this tag team even really going anywhere. And as for the match, I mean, Humberto Carrillo smashes Mustafa Ali to the ring post. And then Garza goes for the pin, and Garza and Carrillo win. It was literally another squash match. And I feel like there was quite a lot of squash matches tonight. And there's not really much to say about this tag match, because it was just a squash. It was a blunder, to be honest. So then we move on to round three of the draft. And Raw selects AJ Styles and Omos, of course. That it just makes sense. SmackDown select Shayna Baszler. So I'm like, okay, you just supposedly told us fans that you're gonna have a story, a little feud with Doudrop and Shayna Baszler. Doudrop's on Raw, so now you just drafted Shayna Baszler to SmackDown. So what was the point of that? That was the most stupid. And I mean, I guess the women of SmackDown have to get ready, because Shayna Baszler is coming for blood. And then Raw selects Kevin Owens, which I'm like, yes, Kevin Owens is a Raw superstar. No offense to anyone on SmackDown. Obviously, I love SmackDown, but it's just I feel like Kevin Owens just fits more on Raw. He's more fierce, and I feel like there's gonna be more room for him to breathe on Raw and kind of get more TV time. So I'm happy for that. And then SmackDown selects Zaya Lee. It's an NXT call-up, which I'm like, okay. I did not expect her to actually get drafted, to be honest, because she's been off NXT for a while. Because she suffered an injury when she was going against Raquel Gonzalez. So Zaya Lee is on SmackDown, so that should be interesting. Hopefully they use her right and, you know, do something with her. So then we have Big E in the ring, and Big E calls out Drew McIntyre, and then Drew McIntyre says that Big E does deserve to be champion, and he shakes his hand, which you can see there's some camaraderie there. There's respect there. Both men respect each other. This is good. But then Drew McIntyre challenges Big E for the WWE Championship, which, okay, Drew McIntyre is Big E. That's a good match. That's a good match. Looking forward to that one. And then Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode interrupt. And I'll be honest with you guys, I totally forgot about Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. I literally forgot about them. I remember they even existed. That's how long they haven't even been on television. And I'm just like, wow, Dolph Ziggler and Roode. I mean, it's kind of crazy how they were like, they were on top of the world in the tag team division. They were tag team for a long time, but then they just slowly fell down the ladder. It is what it is. But then Dolph Ziggler, he comes up talking and basically takes credit for creating Big E and the show vignettes of when Big E was Dolph Ziggler's bodyguard and when he had his first match at WrestleMania. And the video package showed more highlights of the careers through the years. And it was actually kind of good, because I was kind of like, man, Big E's come a long way from being, you know, Big E Langston to Big E. I mean, it's crazy how when you start NWA, you never know where you're going to go. You're going to go to the highest of highs. You're going to stay in the middle, or you're just not going to work and just get released within a year. So it's very interesting. So then the match is made for Drew McIntyre and Big E versus Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. And Robert Roode and Dolph, I mean, they flash. They have like a flash from grace, I swear. Which, by that, I mean, you know, they think they're the best. They think they're the greatest thing ever created since like sliced bread. But yet, they're just nowhere to be seen, which is kind of funny. And as the match continued, Drew, he runs straight into the ring post. And as the match went on and Drew was getting Robert Roode's number, I kept wondering, like, when is Drew McIntyre gonna turn heel again? I did like his heel persona when he was the Miz's like bodyguard type of thing. I feel like it's gonna be a while, cause Drew McIntyre as a babyface is really over, so it's gonna be a while. But it would be nice to see him turn heel again. As the match continues, Dolph, he does a zigzag. Drew breaks up the count. And just as Big E is about to do the big ending, Drew McIntyre ties himself in, and Drew does the claymore and gets the win. And you can just tell that Big E did not like that at all. I think Drew McIntyre is trying to play some mind games now, trying to get into Big E's head, trying to prove or tell him that, hey, like, this could be you in the future if you give me the match. And then that's what happened. Big E tells Drew McIntyre that he'll see him at Crown Jewels. So at Crown Jewels, we're going to have Big E versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. Who will win? Well, I'm pretty sure, obviously, Big E is going to win. But it would have been nice to see Drew McIntyre win. But mind you, Drew McIntyre is going to SmackDown. So there's that buzzkill of Drew going to SmackDown. I am gonna miss Drew McIntyre on Raw, because I don't know, he's been such a Raw staple. So then we have Kevin Owens in the ring, and he's about to do some sort of promo or in-ring interview, and Akira Tozawa comes out. I'm just like, okay, I think everyone was just confused of why he even came out. And I'm pretty sure my first instinct was, okay, this guy is just gonna come out and just call out Reggie for the 24/7 championship. But now he just said, hey, he started talking to Kevin Owens like, hey, congratulations, you're on Raw. And then Kevin Owens just didn't give a shit, and he just gives Akira a stunner. And I mean, hey, kudos to Akira, he sold that stunner, so it was pretty funny. So then we have round four of the draft, and Raw selects the Street Profits. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. They have this new tag team. I like the Street Profits. It's cool. Then SmackDown selects Viking Raiders, which I kind of felt like it was a shocker. I was like, okay, they've kind of been a Raw staple, not only SmackDown. Hopefully, let's see how the tag team division works for them over on SmackDown. Then Raw selects, which is probably my favorite. Draft pick of the entire draft, Finn Balor. Final. I'm like, yes, Finn Balor is going to Raw. Yes, this is perfect. I love him on Raw. Perfect. And then SmackDown selects Ricochet. I'm just like, oh man, I like Ricochet on Raw. So they're beginning to do a lot of, you know, selections that are kind of making people feel some type of way. So me with Ricochet going to SmackDown, I was like, okay, well, it is what it is, but kind of wish that they left them on Raw. So then we move on to another tag team match. We have Nikki A.S.H. versus Rhea Ripley, or you can call them Super Brutality, which I don't even know if that's even trademarked yet, but Super Brutality versus Natalya and Tamina. Which, to my surprise, when Raw went off the air, there wasn't actually another draft round, and they actually split up Natalya and Tamina. So Natalya's going to SmackDown while Tamina's staying on Raw. And apparently, according to sources, they didn't even know that they were going to get split apart. They were as shocked as everyone was when Raw went off the air. So I'm kind of like, damn, like they really did him like that. They just split him up without even letting him know. But I guess this can kind of give Natalya a sort of singles push to go to SmackDown. Maybe, hopefully, she can end up going against whoever is SmackDown Women's Champion at that time. And Tamina, maybe she can actually be some sort of competition for someone. Who knows? I honestly do feel like Tamina is really, really underused and she has a lot of potential. But as for the match, this was a match for the Raw Women's Tag Team Championship. It's a rematch that you know the outcome to. Rhea doesn't even need to tag to it. I'm always thinking about this. Like, Rhea doesn't even need to tag team with Nikki A.S.H. I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying to get into this whole Super Brutality thing, but she's better than this. She needs to be Raw. She needs to be Raw Women's Champion again. She needs to be on top of the world. She needs to basically be where Charlotte is at, and they're not giving her the chance to be where Charlotte is at, and they're giving her the secondary thing as a Raw Women's Championship with Nikki A.S.H. I mean, no offense to Nikki or anybody, but it's just like, it just pisses me off that Rhea is not like on top of the world right now when she should be. Nikki should be tag teaming with, I don't know, Zelina Vega or someone. No, I like Zelina Vega, not her. But you know, I mean, I hope you guys know what I mean. I just wish more for Rhea Ripley, and just seeing her be a tag team champion, it's like, okay, I guess it's a start, but I'm being very impatient. As the match again was really a blunder. Nothing really happened. Rhea, she does a riptide, and then Nikki does a splash from Rhea Ripley's shoulder, and they get to win. And I mean, like I said, not impressed with the team. Wasn't really much to it, and it is what it is. So then we move on to round 5 of the draft, and then Raw selects Karrion Kross, and I mean, he's the lost cause. They're killing him. They are killing his character. They're killing him. They need to just bring back his NXT character. Just be balls to the walls, fierce, no fucks given. He's gonna break your neck type of guy. And this whole, like, I don't know, like Mortal Kombat type of Karrion Kross character that they gave him is just not working. And I wish they would understand that. So then SmackDown selects Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, which I'm kind of like, damn, Raw lost a pretty good up-and-coming tag team, but they're going to shine in SmackDown, no doubt about it. Then Raw selects Alexa Bliss, thank God. She's not going to SmackDown, thank God. She's staying on Raw. I was actually kind of worried that she was going to get drafted to SmackDown for some reason. And then SmackDown selects Cesaro, which it's fair pick. Cesaro is a SmackDown like staple. He is like one of those, like almost like a SmackDown OG. So it was good that he's staying where he is. Then we have Goldberg and face to face with Bobby Lashley, and this wasn't really much of a face to face. It was more of like, I'm looking at you from across the ring, because Bobby Lashley just stayed by the entrance ramp and Goldberg was in the ring. And this obviously is a build up for Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley at Crown Jewels. And let me tell you something, I am not excited for this match at all. After Goldberg's last performance in Saudi Arabia against The Undertaker, I'm 100% sure that I'm not excited to see Goldberg. And don't get me wrong, I am a Goldberg fan. Not the new Goldberg, the old Goldberg, but I am a Goldberg fan, and he has a lot to make up for. And he knows that he has a lot to prove and a lot to make up to, because his performance in Saudi Arabia last time was just painful to watch. It's almost like he shouldn't even be there. And mind you, he almost broke Undertaker's neck too. And the irony of it is that Goldberg wants to break Lashley's neck, as he stated during his promo. And then Lashley comes out, and Lashley actually wants to make the match a no holds barred match. So I'm like, okay, so now we have Lashley versus Goldberg, no holds barred. I'm like, okay, let's see what they're even gonna try and do. But this whole thing is about Gage, which is Goldberg's son, and obviously I'm pretty sure this guy is gonna interfere. His son is gonna interfere and somehow do something. Lashley's gonna do something to his son, which seems to be the case. And then the Hurt Business ends up coming out behind Goldberg, and Goldberg just ends up spearing Cedric Alexander. And I mean, it wasn't even really much of a face-to-face. I just felt like Lashley came out to announce that the match was going to be a no-holds-barred match. Wasn't really much build-up to it. But then again, Lashley's never been that good at promos. It was always MVP. But I can almost see Lashley trying and actually kind of trying to be better than the week before. So it's interesting to see. But as for the no-holds-barred match, I mean, I'm like maybe like 2% excited for it. Not really much to it. So then we have New Day versus the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. And Hurt Business basically had Kofi's number and they tried to keep him corner. But then Xavier Woods had a bit. He actually had a botch. He jumped over the rope, landed on the apron, and he actually kind of fell off the apron. So it was a botch, but he played it off well. Then Xavier, he does his flying elbow, and New Day get the win. And I mean, the Hurt Business is back, but damn, they ain't shit now. They ain't shit. They're not. I feel like they're not even like as respected as they were when they first started, because they just lost this match and there's nothing to it. And then Street Profits ends up coming out, and you know, they confront New Day and they have their own little fun and segment. I'm not gonna lie, New Day and Street Profits, if they were to do some sort of like backstage segments or promos or whatever, I would love to see them, because I think both teams have like comedic timing. So then we have Randy Orton versus Omos, question mark. And I say that because Omos the whole night, Omos didn't even agree to the match the whole night, so we don't know if it's happening. So then AJ Styles and Omos come out, and AJ just starts gloating how they're going to beat him at Crown Jewels, and this is our titles, and they're going to do whatever it takes to have. And Omos has yet to even accept the challenge. So then as Omos is talking, Randy ends up attacking AJ Styles. He runs out of the ring and Omos is looking like, what the hell? And then Riddle distracts Omos, and then Randy gets AJ Styles and RKO. And I mean, there was basically no match. This was literally just Randy Orton being smart and getting their number and playing mind games, which AJ and Omos fell for. They fell for Randy Orton's mind game, and they should be smarter because they know that Randy Orton is the king of playing mind games when it comes to building up a match. So who's gonna win that match though? RK Bro, obviously. So then we have the main event for Raw. We have Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair. But first, we have the sixth round pick of the draft. I got tongue twisted there for a second. So then Raw selects Carmella, and dude, the boos in the crowd were amazing. I think they tried to filter the boos, but people were booing that Carmella's coming to Raw. So we have Carmella. Then SmackDown selects Ridge Holland, which I do not know much about. I think he's an NXT call up. I don't know anything about him, so I can't even give my opinion about that. And then this was the one that I was telling you from the beginning of the podcast, that I was like, why? And I think a lot of people are like, why? So then Raw selects Gable Clarkson, the Olympic gold medalist. And I think I'm pretty sure people in the crowd were confused, because we're like, okay, this guy just signed the contract, but he's still in a development role. And like, he's still developing his thing. Why would you even draft him if he's not even gonna make his debut till like a year from now? That makes no sense of why you would want to draft him right now. Because for all we know, you might change your mind, just put him in SmackDown. But I mean, that's a weird one. So really, I mean, either way, we're gonna have to wait a year for this guy to come. So it's not really much of a big deal. And then SmackDown selects Sami Zayn, which I'm okay with. Again, he's kind of like Cesaro. He's kind of like a SmackDown staple. So I'm okay with Sami Zayn being on Raw. As the match, before the match even started, Becky, she comes to ringside and she does some color commentary, which I always love seeing. I always love hearing Becky being a color commentator, because she's always so good at talking shit. And then as for the match, when the match continued, Bianca Belair and Charlotte, they did have a nice match here. They did have a very good main event, and Becky was being like just like very sassy to Byron and stuff, telling me being very slick. I love all the little jokes that went over Byron's head when Becky was doing commentary. And as the match kept going, Bianca, she dropped Charlotte with the KOD, but then Charlotte lands on her feet and hits a spear. But then Bianca Belair kicks out, which I honestly thought Charlotte was going to win. But I'm like, okay, the match keeps going. So then Bianca, she drops Charlotte with another KOD. But then this time, Becky pulls her off and attacks her. And then it's a disqualification. And Becky drops Bianca with the rock bottom, which I wonder if that's going to be her new finisher. Is it like the Becky bottom, Beck bottom? I don't even know, the Irish bottom. I will call it the Becky bottom. And then Sasha Banks comes out and jumps her from behind, and then Sasha drops Becky with a backstabber. And at the end of the show, Sasha Banks just stands tall, and she's almost destined to become champion again. I think it was a good main event. They are building up the triple threat match, but I think now they should make another match for SmackDown, and they should maybe make it Bianca versus Sasha or Charlotte versus Sasha. And then we're gonna have, you know, if it's Charlotte versus Sasha, we have Bianca coming out of the constant match. If it's Charlotte versus Becky, Bianca comes out again. So I think it should be like a revolving door. But other than that, it was a pretty entertaining main event. As my thoughts on the draft has been very, how can I put it, very 50-50 for me. There are picks that I'm like, okay, this is great for both shows. And then there's picks I'm like, why? It is what it is. I mean, that's the point of the draft. It's gonna surprise us, and we're gonna. I honestly thought there was gonna be a little bit more of NXT call ups, which I think that they are doing part of the draft at NXT 2.0, which I feel like I heard it during the show, but I'm not sure. But I'm actually surprised that there wasn't that many NXT call ups that happened during the show. Oh, but there were more. Like I said, that they split up Natalya and Tamina after Raw went off the air, but they also broke up. They broke up Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. So now Tegan Nox is going to be on Raw and Shotzi is going to be on SmackDown. And that's a shame because they were an up-and-coming young tag team. And it's a shame that they broke them up. But who knows? Maybe this is really a chance for them to prove themselves as singles competitors. And who knows? One of them or both of them can end up being the next super big star. Don't get me wrong, I think Shotzi and Tegan have a lot of talent. And another random breakup, which this is actually kind of random. When I read about it, I was like, wow. And they actually drafted Jinder Mahal and Shanky to SmackDown, and then Veer is going to stay on Raw. Which I mean, I'm not gonna lie, over the past few weeks, Veer has been constantly, you know, he's been very impressive from the trio. He's actually been the one to stand out from the trio. He's been actually doing his thing, and now he has a chance to be a single star, and hopefully he can get there. While Jinder Mahal, I mean, he has nothing to prove. We already know he's the Maharaj, so he's good. Shanky, on the other hand, he has a lot to prove. And I think they're going to keep Shanky next to Jinder Mahal because I feel like backstage they don't have that much faith in Shanky, and because Shanky is very stiff in the ring, at least at the time I saw him wrestle on Raw. We saw him wrestle. He was very stiff, so it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to keep him next to Jinder as a sort of like a trainer. So we'll see. I think the most shocking part for me was really Natalya and Tamina, because I thought they were just a tag team, that they were just going to stay together for a while. But we're going to see how things go for anyone that's been in the draft. That will do it for this episode of Reed's Wrestling. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.